On this week's episode of Devil's Trap Podcast, belly rubs for everyone.
And astral project with me. Let's do this. I'm Diana.
And I'm Liz.
And this week we're going to talk about season 8, episode 15, Man's Best Friend with Benefits.
Ew. That's gross. Indeed.
It is.
Ah, sorry, my keyboard just flew. Oh no, everything is flying.
Well, that's what you've been up to, other than having flying hardware.
Oh, so I actually had a, like, thought about what I was going to say during the segment, and cool. I got a pedicure today for the first time in very long time, and that was exciting. I went to a new place, and with the way that I found it, well, I go to this place called Stretch Labs, sponsored by Stretch Lab, not really, but I would like to be because y'all are fucking expensive. I kind of got, like, suckered into one of their membership deals, and now I'm too embarrassed to, like, make it less. Now I have to be like, y'all, I didn't need this many stretches. But I just kind of nodded my head when you presented a package to me, and now I have to stretch every week. But anyway, so there is a nail salon right next door to the Stretch Lab. And I asked the girl who was stretching me out. That sounds gross. if she'd been there, and she was like, no, I looked at the reviews and I decided not to. And I was like, how bad are these reviews? And they were pretty bad. So after I was done stretching, I went in my car and I like pulled up the Google and it was like a 3.9. So then I Googled another nail salon and I went there and they had just opened, like they were pretty new. So it's always nice when it's like, you know, like they're not all grossed out yet.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it was, that was fun. And they had those fun little flowers everywhere and they had a big sign on the wall for Polish girls.
They did. You sent me a picture. Polish.
Yeah. So what about you?
I feel like I've been real busy. I know I went and saw some music, which I know everybody's shocked. I saw Matt Hillier and Reckless Kelly the other night. And then I got to see my niece in a cheerleading competition. And then that's about it. Nothing too crazy. Ate some good food this weekend. Was super stressed about a lot of things. So I ate my feelings a lot.
That's but okay.
I'm okay with that. Sometimes you do that.
Oh no! Yeah, sometimes that's delicious. My option
was it was spend or eat them. So I went with eat them this time. We'll get spend next.
Yep. Oh, things that are just not healthy.
I know.
But fun. Yeah, but fun.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I used to would have just drank my way through it. So I feel like that's a little bit of an improvement. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll be fine.
We're fine. We're all fine here.
We're all fine. Totally fine.
Oh, so are you ready to talk about this week's episode?
Yes.
Okay. So the gross title, Man's Best Friend Upsetting. With Benefits. Just saying gross. That is just gross. I don't like that. It first aired February 20th, 2013, and was directed by John F. Showalter. And he has done, I think he was like the most prolific director of the show. And so we last saw him with What's Up, Tiger Mommy? And before that, Out with the Old. So, you know, he's been around the show. And this was directed, that was who directed it. And it was written by Buckner and Rosie Lemming. And so I thought it might be fun to start this episode out with what Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki had to say about this episode. It is available on YouTube. I did find it through the Supernatural Wiki, but Here is that bit.
Guys, we visited them on set to get the latest scoop on Supernatural, so the show makes a list at number two.
I'm going to feel dirty saying this, but you might want a salad and a shower.
So February 20th, there's an episode called Man's Best Friend with Benefits. The title kind of tickled us all.
Something like a nice show about bestiality. That's a kid. Or do I?
We're dealing with a witch, and witches have something called a familiar, which kind of follows them around and can take on the form of a human or a dog. So it happens to be this beautiful familiar that seeks us out because her witch master is in trouble.
He gets them to get married as witches.
Well, the rest of season 8, we do find out some history behind the name Winchester and the family of the Winchesters. In fact, we are sitting in the most elaborate, expensive set I think the show has ever built.
We are actually in the Men in a Lettered bunker right now.
It's going to offer up a lot more information into these guys' lives. I think it's a slight game changer. It's going to give them new weapons. It's going to give them new spells. It's going to give them new ways of handling all the stuff that they've been dealing with.
This season, Dean was trapped in purgatory. So if the guys could send one thing back this there, girl. What would they choose?
If I could cast a current fashion into purgatory, I'm not a big fan of skin tight jeans on guys.
Maybe sagging. Yeah, pull your pants up. Guys, really, you got a belt. Use it. It's unnecessary. We don't need to see what boxers you're wearing.
Yeah, so
I was getting my jam on.
They were something, weren't they?
Yeah. That was something.
Yeah, that was 10 on top. It was a show that used to be on MTV. I have no idea who either of those girls were or are.
Mm-mm. Nope.
But the boys were funny.
They were.
All right. So that is what they thought, that, you know, perhaps this episode was about bestiality, as the fucking title implies.
Correct.
So, but we get a recap. Right. And we start off, we do hear the dulcet tones of Cordelia over saying spells at the beginning, which I enjoyed.
Yeah. So our recap is all about the witches and the trials. That's it. I'm just going for that. That's what I went with. Yeah. So witches and trials, which is funny. Those are not two things you usually like to have together. Different type of trial.
No. Yeah. Typically those did not go well for the participants.
No. But different trials. So, yeah. So our episode opens up in St. Louis, Missouri, in an alley. And we've got a woman who appears to be a sex worker of some type and a man walking down the hallway. But somebody – or walking down the alley. And somebody's watching them. And this man leaves. And then another man pops
up. Well, he gives her money. And also her shoes are way too high to be in that alley. Like, I mean, it does keep, you far away from, the rats that are on the ground. But it makes it hard to run from the rats that are on the ground.
Yeah. And then the guy that pops up flashes a badge. And she is under arrest. So that's not good.
Well, no. She's not under arrest. He never says that. He just cuffs her. And then he chokes her. And which is more disturbing.
And blood. But not even just choke. It's
her neck explodes. Like, her neck's exploded with blood. Like, from the squeezing. I don't know that's how that happens.
It's, ripped into her flesh. Like, it's like a push in through the thumb. Like, it's a hand tearing of flesh. It's very
upsetting. Like somebody ripped. I think that we hear later, somebody, ripped him apart.
Yeah. With their hands.
Yeah, it's a very strong fingers. Yep. Hmm. So the guy wakes up and it's a dream. Woo!
Yay, it's a dream. What a relief. He's just seeing he's having a terrible, terrible nightmare that he murdered this chick. And then his sweet puppy dog gets in bed with him. And you're like, aw, sweet doggy knows he had a nightmare and wants to cuddle. That's very cute. And then they go back to sleep.
Yes. And the Peppers is the Doberman varietal. And mm-hmm. But also is a smaller. So I think it's a pincher. I'm not sure. I should have had you do that. Like, you type the cars. We should have also typed the breed of the dog.
I was very impressed with the dog.
But very pretty dog. Very pretty pupper.
Very pretty doggo. And in the morning, he's making his coffee and opens his trash can to dump the coffee grounds and sees his own button-down shirt in there covered in blood. So, rut-row, maybe not a dream.
Oh, Keith Morrison, what would happen? You know, so Dateline to start something. And
But Sam and Dean are pulling into a motel.
So they're pulling into the Sleepy Lodge Motel, and on the side it says My typo says indoor poon. I'm assuming that's supposed to say indoor pool. And then kitchenette, mm-hmm. and then sauna and air conditioned. Sauna?
Not a lot of motels have saunas.
What is that code for? Like, is there something else that they're calling a sauna? Like, because that place does not have a sauna as I would call one.
If it did, I don't want to use it.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be sanitized, I think, right? Like, no, it wouldn't be. Okay. Moving on.
Mm. And they are having a deep discussion about the merits and flaws in the different Three Stooges.
Yes. But. Sam believes that Shemp was a way better stooge than Curly. Mm. I have no opinion.
Either. And basically they are in town. So they're in St. Louis because James, their cop friend who saved their lives once, texted them and asked them to come help him.
Okay.
And
so we're going to, this is one of the things I don't like about this episode. And so they start implying that we knew, it's sort of like a Garth thing, right? But so we knew James. We've just never talked about James actually on the show. And we've never like actually Correct. Encountered him in a previous episode. Correct. But it kind of almost gaslights me enough. It
gaslights you into thinking. You're like, wait.
Did I see him? Did I forget him? Like, was he a small role? To the point that I look every time to see, wait, was he in another episode and just a small character and I forgot about it? I think that just kind of doesn't, like, it's, you could have pulled a character from the past. Like, you've dealt with enough cops. I think it would have made more sense to set this in, like, we're sort of going into this very different world that's supposed to be part of theirs, right? But it still, it doesn't fit at all. And I think if they had, like, maybe had just placed it into a location that we actually knew, this may have held more.
Yeah, instead of a new one that where it was.
We just go far off the rails on the subway, I think. So anyways, that's my first part is this like this the immediately part where you I'm sure you went, did I know this guy? Who's James?
Yeah. No, I was concerned. I'm like, fuck. Google, 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 Google. And we get a somewhat sweet exchange here while Dean is offering to go get some, well, he's going to get beer and offers to get Sam something. And he really wants to make sure that Sam is okay with to finish the trials. It seems nice, but it's really still just questioning it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what his motive for that is. So, but he goes to go get beer because we can't be sober.
And Sam is just puttering around the motel, goes to the bathroom, and hears a noise at the door, opens the door, and it's the Doberman.
It's our Pupper.
Oh, yay, Pupper. Surprise, Pupper. And he just opens the door, and the dog runs in and jumps on the bed, like they do. And she just wants belly rubs. And she has a collar, but there's Same. No tags on it. Belly rubs for everybody. And so Dean gets back, and Sam is like, concerned. So he runs out the door to intercept Dean. He's like, it's not my fault. She just showed up at the door. Can she stay the night? She just wanted belly scratches. We'll find her owner in the morning. And Dean's like, what? And Sam opens the door and it is no longer a Doberman, but a very beautiful woman.
And Dean is just like, yeah, of course she can stay the night. And this is where like, it just also starts.
Lore falls apart.
Yeah. Things start getting weird and just uncomfortable weird sometimes too. So Sam whips out his blade because they think she's a shapeshifter.
And she's like, no, I'm a familiar. I belong to James Frampton that you're here to meet with.
Ew.
And Dean's like, what the fuck? That means James is a witch. So now we got cop witch. Witch cop? Cop witch.
Cop witch. Yeah. But so witch cop. She does say that she gets a better feel for people when she's a dog. And I think that's interesting. And yeah. I do like wonder, like, you know, there's the, what do you think when you're a dog type thing? Do you think like a dog? Do you think like
a person? I know.
And, but I also get the, how you treat me as an animal, like will, but also, I mean, she's your woman too. So like either way, you're going to judge what type of person by how they treat you. Right. And so, and interesting that she thinks she gets treated better as a dog than as a woman. That's fucked up. But also her name is Portia. And we just put down my mom's cat named Portia and her little paw prints in the kitchen. So we'll pour one out for Kitty Portia.
Portia.
And also gross that she belongs to James. That's gross.
It's a little weird because the way that the relationship that they define in this, and they continue to explain this relationship throughout this episode, it's very odd. Because own is the word she used, but then later she gets like basically offended by that. We'll get there.
So we start off with this, and we are immediately running into problem territory just because it's just, and part of just a world we're not familiar with, right?
Familiar. Hey, we gotta do like the Pee Wee Herman like word of the day, and like ah! every time we say familiar. Anyways, but we've got she confirms that James is still a cop and that she's the one that called them for help. So he's got something going wrong with him and he's going to have a breakdown and they need him. They need to help him. But Dean is not into witches at all. And
as we know, I mean, this is a trait of Dean's. He thinks they're gross.
Yeah. But Portia, like, freaking steps up to him. It's like, gets in his face about
it. And she rips him a new one for his ignorant bigotry against witches. Bitch.
And Sam and Dean both agree it was hot.
Yeah, no, she just tore him, but it was all done well, and way to go. And that's also gross. So, but then we go to the club. Bar.
Witch club
that has no name that I wish existed. I want to live there. Why is this not my bar?
His name is just a symbol. I'm sorry.
That's so cool. How do you put that in your Uber app? I don't know.
That is a good question. So we've got James there having a drink. Well, first we do get to see some wizards chess being played
with their minds. Funny.
That was pretty neat. And then James is having a drink and this guy comes up and meets him, Spencer. And that guy's like, oh, you look like shit. Well, that's not very nice. And this guy, Spencer, is like, you should talk to somebody or go get some help. And he's like, there's not medicine for this. What do you want me to do? Like, who helps witches? And the guy's just like, well, I'll take a break. It's all your work. It's just weird. You know, basically... It's the beginning of an implication that being a witch is at odds with being a cop.
Yep. And there is a reason that witches don't become cops. And that's, you know, but probably valid, right? You know, they're operating in the underworld for the most part. And a lot of them are doing bad, shady things.
But they don't have to, so like, why does it matter?
I don't know. But this is their community.
That seems very bigoted from their
community. It is. Well, yes. I mean, it's a very old, you know, apparently.
Or prejudice, I should say.
No, there's a lot of big, it sounds like they have problems within their community already. Like, we start hearing some more things that are going on. But clearly they are all, like, there are a lot of old people, old witches in this place. And like, if they look that old and they're witches, like, imagine how old they are. They're like, probably like that. Thousands of years old, like in there, and like that building looks really old, so we don't know how long they've been there. So
true.
And we were trying to bat down a lot of old ideas that are just built in there, but we can do it. All right, so I still so we go to James saying like he can't find his dog, he's lost his dog.
I've pushed her away.
And is he gonna put up like lost?
Which picture do you put on the lost sign? Do you follow missing persons or lost dog sign?
Do you call the pound or do you call the hospital?
Oh my God. Yes, I think is the answer.
So we go back to the motel.
And she has now shared with Sam and Dean about the nightmares and potentially murders that James has occurred, and then she explains how James has
well, we learned
telepathically
that,
shut her out.
Yes, we learned that because we also learned that familiars and their masters can communicate telepathically. So this is a new fact to be learned, but now he's blocking her out.
Yeah. And, but she knows that he doesn't trust other witches and that,
witch, please.
And she confessed that she's the one that reached out to Sam and Dean. And then we cut to the park where a blind guy is just out for a walk at night in the park by himself.
Yo, there's this scene. There's a whole lot of things in here. Why was that girl in that alley? Why is this dude walking with a cane? He's visually impaired. We don't know what's going on with him. But also, why is this detective just, running around doing this?
Choking him and ripping his throat open.
How is this happening? Okay, but I don't know. So gross.
Well, back at James's house the next day, we have Sam and Dean in the living room while James and Portia are loudly arguing in the other room about her inviting Sam and Dean there. So James comes out. Portia's back in her dog form. And Dean just calls James out for being a witch. And he's like, are you here to help the pylon?
Well, I mean, he doesn't just call. He starts in on him, right? Like, he's not calling him out. He just, starts giving him shit. And it's fucked up, Dean. Huh. Like, say hello. Like, he was still your friend. Like, give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, I don't get this at all.
Well, they weren't really friends, though. Remember, they were talking about, do they really owe this guy that has saved their life once? I don't know. It's kind of a weird dynamic implied. But they need to decide if the dreams, if what's happening are dreams or if they're real murders. And he's like, oh, no, I figured it out. They're fucking real. People did die. Their flesh was torn into, with bare hands. And, and I found his bloody shirt. So this does not look good for me. And they're like, well, maybe you pissed off another witch and they hexed you and made you do these things or something like that. But right now we're at 4 deaths. So we got to figure this shit out.
So time for bondage fun.
Yes. They're going to chain him to the bed.
Sure. These are very so these are Justin baby. How much weight does this add to the car? I guess it's helpful in the winter, but so
they're multi-purpose chains.
Yep. And so we go back to their motel room.
Mm-hmm. Which at this point, it seems odd. They just chain this guy to the bed and they just go back to their motel room. Why don't they just do all the research at this guy's nice ass house? Because it seems not nice ass. I mean, it's a nice house. He's got plenty of space.
Well, I think they're trying to keep. And that's also half the time it seems like they're working against James instead of with him. And that seems stupid.
Inconsistent.
So, yeah, but Dean's clearly gathering ingredients for a spell.
Yeah, so they're getting ready to make a spell, and they're discussing, Sam's been doing some research, and, they figured out that the crime scenes are exactly what James described to them, and that interestingly, he has been kind of moving up in the ranks a little faster than normal, and so maybe and has a 100% solve rate for his cases, so maybe he's made some people mad, but as Dean says, booga booga on his side, but
mayhaps he is also concerned because they have never actually used the witch killing spell because the last time they got interrupted. The last time it didn't work because the chicken feet spoiled. So he is concerned that we're not sure if this actually works. But what he's really concerned about is the trials.
Yeah. And he's worried about them getting too far down the path, and then Sam won't be able to do one of the trials, and Dean can't jump back in because they got to start back over from the beginning. And Sam is rightfully offended.
Yeah, by this. Fuck you, Dean. What the hell? And he finally just says, you can only trust yourself, right? I'm a big boy over here. Clearly, I'm an adult. You can only trust yourself, Dean. We are done because we're both adults. Yeah.
And there we go. So they go back to trying to determine who they're going to use this witch killing spell against. And basically the goal is to use this against whoever's making this happen to James. But at the end of the day, they may have to use it on James. But also they kind of discuss it. Sam points out this wouldn't be the first pass they've ever given if they let James go. And he's like, yeah, Dean's like, yeah, but people are being ganked plus the difference between James versus like Benny and Kate is Benny and Kate were forced to be what they are. They were forced to become monsters of some kind. Whereas James made a conscious choice to be a witch.
But he's not necessarily, you know, sacrificing evil people to the great darkness. Like it's not what that being. And even like we'll see that when they call Dean a fucking Wiccan. And so anyhow, so they have this blah 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 thing argument, but we go to the morgue.
Yeah.
And once again we have a delightful delightful corner.
Medical examiner, he is pretty fun. And he's explaining to Special Agent Keith, aka Sam, that these bodies were shredded as if by bare hands, and introduces him to Ed, who's one of the other detectives.
And he's just shady. And he's a very shady, dismissive. He's a shady, sus cop. And it's just like there's a witness that wasn't put in the report.
So he just was like, Sam's trying to make a point that they are not doing their job solving this case. And this guy's like, why the fuck are the feds here? And yeah, this is no case. But Sam is able to drop off a piece of James's shirt soaked in blood.
He's like, yeah, you left this at the scene. Like, I guess we all just missed something. We just missed this piece of shirt that I ripped off and I'm just handling to you. But okay, whatever, fine. We're going to go to my new favorite bar.
Yeah, we're going to go to the bar. And Portia is escorting Dean into the bar. And Dean is getting the stink eye all over. It is hilarious. They are staring this motherfucker down. And she's like, they can tell that he's an outsider is what Portia tells him. And he asks, are they all witches? And she says, and stuff. What is the and stuff? I want to know what the and stuff is.
There's many different things that are in there. And I would know if you got to hang out at this bar.
I know. So he makes some kind of Portia's talking about how, you know, explaining how a familiar finds their master and then they become inseparable. And she gets real offended when he makes a pet reference and tries to explain this unbreakable bond and melding of souls that would die for each other.
I'm not a pet. Not a pet ever. And I like her. I like Portia a lot. But so souls melding, blah, blah, blah. And somebody snaps at her. And it's Philippe Lachat. And so as we know, that means the cat in French. But according to the Supernatural Wiki, it says it is pronounced, and they have C-H-A-T-T-E in quotes, which is a French term for pussy. So.
Oh. Huh.
But I'm like, isn't that also cat? So, yeah. Chat. That's weird. But I just want to say chateau. Or, I don't know, I just want to say something aggressive in French that means pussy. But chateau! But I don't think that's it.
I don't think so.
Chat.
I wouldn't know, though. I don't know French.
I meant to look that up, but I forgot.
Portia introduces Dean as, quote, Wiccan from Detroit. And so that is his cover with the witches.
Why is that Wiccan cool?
From Detroit.
I would be like, I don't want a fucking Wiccan in here. Like,
I'd be like, oh my God, that sounds exhausting. Like,
No problem with Wiccans.
I was going to make some terrible joke about like listening to like the Detroit music and.
No, it's not going to go well. We like to show music.
All right, so they sit down
and I don't have a problem with Wiccans. It just doesn't seem tough in this environment of all these really cool like witches and others to be like a Wiccan from Detroit. I'm like, cool. That is something that will help us spread.
Yeah. So he probably would have blown his cover if they gave him too much cred, but. But Dean starts sneezing, and apparently this frequently happens around cats. And while that's happening, Philippe and Portia are talking about the gossip and buzz around James.
Yeah, so and a bunch Philippe of people are talking
that
shit
he
about
brings
him.
It on himself by being a witch cop.
Because that's, and he thinks it's ridiculous, and Dean agrees, because it is. Witch cop. It's dumb.
It just isn't dumb.
It also sounds like a terrible TV show. I don't want to see Witch Cop. Has that been done? Is there a Witch Cop show?
I want to see it.
How's there not been a witch cop show?
I don't know. I feel like there has. I have to look into it. If there was, didn't do well. So then the man, Spencer, from the previous or the earlier scene that met James at the witch club, approaches, and Dean very awkwardly introduces himself. Not believable. Basically, we find out that this is Spencer, and he's a witch, and I guess like a mentor kind of witch or something. And Dean asks him if there's a spell for a witch to control the actions of another witch. And Spencer's like, oh, that's just not possible.
And that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. This seems like it is like basic fucking magic. Like,
yeah.
Like, how hard is this fucking spell? Like, to control another witch, it seems like it would be like the fifth thing that you would learn, right? Like, maybe not like the first thing, but like controlling what other people do, like, that's kind of magic, right? Isn't that the point?
Like, why else would you do magic? I don't know.
Just kidding. You can do magic for other means of control. However, I'm just saying, it seems like a pretty normal spell, Spencer. Yeah.
So, I mean, probably something fairly powerful, but not like unheard of. That's what's weird.
Yeah, no, it just seems like making people do things like has been in like the history of magic for like
all of it.
All the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. Just yes. Witches made me do stuff. That's why yeah. Like I'm pretty sure like in all of like the trials that we were jokingly talking about earlier, witches made people do things.
Yeah. Anyways. But it's time for them to leave. So Spencer beckons Philippe, who promptly turns into a cat, and they leave.
Meow. Such a cute little kitty cat, too. She's all black with little yellow eyes and so cute little perky tail.
Well, as they're leaving, Dean does get, in between seasons, he gets a phone call, and Sam has got confirmation that the blood on James's shirt was from the murder victim. So we know now that it's real.
Well, it's a piece of evidence that could point to many things, but according to them, this just solves it all. And like, clearly this is the only evidence we need that there was victim's blood on the shirt.
That was in his trash. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't think so, dudes, but whatever. And we go back to Portia. Portia is just shackling her boyfriend.
She's very sad about it as she chains him to the bed.
This seems like a very unnecessary position to put him in. Like, why are you spread-angling him?
I mean...
I know those chains are pretty heavy, but like this, like you think he could like sit up, or was he just like, I would like to rest?
It doesn't seem like a comfortable way to lay at all.
Like, can we not like give it like so the chains had some like give, you know, so you could like move around? It seems unnecessary.
Well, as she's chaining him, they start making out because apparently they are a thing. And so. There we go. They are not just familiar and master. They are a hot item.
They're boning. So she gives the dog a bone. And is that how that works?
Is it?
He gives the dog a bone. Yeah, he gives the dog a bone. And then she like can see in his head again.
And now she sees visions.
I would say no, thank you.
Murdering people. Yeah.
If I went into your head and I saw this, we're not going to go. I'm not going in your head anymore.
Or we're not banging. I don't know. Pick one. I was like, talk about a vibe kill.
Yeah. There's just pitter patter, blood splatter everywhere.
Everywhere. So. Now we've got Sam and Dean decide they're going to break into.
They're going to bust in there and just like.
Now they've decided because the blood was real that they need that James is the bad guy and they need to fucking kill James. So they're going to break in and use
the phone. I don't understand this. Why don't you just call James? Like, he knew you had his shirt and just be like, James, your shirt's got the blood on it. We're coming over. Why? You know, this blood matches that. Okay, let's figure out can we figure out some more?
Yeah.
I'm just going to break into your house in the middle of the night and like throw a stick at you.
Throw a spell at you while you are chained to your own bed. That's dark, right?
It's fucked up, man. Anyways. This is like, they don't even like give it. And then like, Portia's like in the bathroom.
She's doing the ever important post XP probably. I mean,
that's how you stop. If you don't do that, you get a UTI.
Yeah.
Pee after you have sex, ladies.
Anyway, so, and she's like, no, I saw in his head while we were banging that, by the way, we have a very unusual relationship. It's not really like supposed to be like that, but no, it's okay. But no. Let me give him a chance, because even though our relationship's real fucking weird, we don't need to talk about that. He has no awareness of these crimes and no motive. So let's figure it out.
And then Dean's just stuck on y'all fuck. And she's just grossed out by him. And then Sam is grossed out by him.
It's all weird. Yeah. And Sam goes back to the police station. And Ed is like mocking Sam for the FBI having time to even look up this case.
Just really trying to downplay, like, this is a nothing case. Like, why are you even here? Nothing to see here. There weren't any witnesses or, like, throats ripped open by bare hands. Yeah. It's boring.
Totally fine. Totally normal.
This is East St. Louis, sir. Like, I don't know where the fuck you're from, but in East St. Louis, this shit happens.
These things happen.
All the fucking time.
This happens. Yeah, so Sam kind of tries to poke the bear about it, but with commenting about how, not having James on the case right now, and then about how fast he got promoted. And you can tell Ed's bothered, but he kind of tries to just, defer it. But now we've got Dean and Portia in a fucking abandoned warehouse.
What?
It wouldn't be an episode without one.
There's actually a warehouse is in the contract for Supernatural. Like,
I bet there is.
It must appear in every episode. Like, or warehouse gets mad. I don't know. Warehouse is now a thing. Like, it has feelings. Warehouse is gonna sue.
Warehouse mad.
But now, like, Dean's using the word warlock. Like, why? Like, are you just fucking with him? Like,
I don't know. It's so weird. And they're meeting with a warlock who's
a snitch.
Anyways, a snitch in the so they want to see if he knows anything about what could be going on here.
I'm very sorry for all of you can hear my cat licking my hand on the microphone. I just realized how close that was to the microphone, and then that probably sounded really gross.
It was a sound.
That was Portia. So.
So a gremlin pulls in. And,
oh my god! Like, there's so many things about familiars that are so gross.
Yeah.
Like she's a dog. Like, she cleans herself.
Like, do you transform to go to the bathroom, or do you just want to go in the yard and make your master pick it up? Like,
what if he has? Does he have to pick up your girlfriend's poop? Right. That's asking much of a relationship.
That's a big ask. It is a big ask.
Go on, I'm dying. All right. So I also lost my place in my notes. All right, so we have the snitch.
We got Drexel. We've met Drexel.
No, it goes back to it because, like, Dean's just like, he wants to know which came first, the dog or the girl. Now, oh god.
No, I was skipping that. And, Nope. We're going to go. She's not interested in really getting into that, so.
And neither are we. We are moving on. We're being adults, and we are moving on.
I don't think the show wanted to dive into that either. I get the feeling they're like, we're just going to gloss over this.
You can't. I'm sorry. It is the elephant in the room.
They didn't want these questions asked. They shouldn't have had him fuck.
They shouldn't have. You knew this was going to happen. So, and like, oh, the fanfic. I'm not even going there. Okay. So Drexel comes in. And what is Drexel putter in?
In his gremlin. And he
what
is
year was
a
gremlin? You'd even say, oh, so cute. I like it.
And they, basically, there's not any really word on the street about any hexing. But there's a rumor that James has gone full Ripper, and they're afraid that it's going to expose all of them, and so that James needs to leave or kill himself. Those are his choices.
I mean, at least I give him the option to leave, and they're just not going to kill him. But, all right, so this is one of the things I was talking about earlier about the community, right? So
right.
You have this unspoken underworld of witches and others that, like, have enough power to come together and be like, there's someone here, they're going to expose us, kill yourself or leave.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yes.
So back at James' house, Dean has been researching and looking into some of Bobby's notes about spells for implanting images into someone's brain. So maybe that
he's like, maybe this is possible. Maybe magic is magic. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's drinking while he's researching.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have that. He's like, he's just drinking a straight up cup of whiskey. Like, this is just a straight up cup of whiskey.
I mean, at least put an ice cube in it. I don't judge that.
It's fine if there's an ice cube in it.
Yeah. But just no. All right. So
Sam know it's is not like good whiskey.
Oh, it's probably not. You're right. And Sam's like, look, Ed's totally covering something up. He's saying he said that there's nothing on this case, but he saw that their tech guy has this huge folder about James. So that's not good. And then he points out how compliments Dean on how he's been limiting his bestiality jokes. And I think we were all impressed with that.
Yep. Yep. That was very impressive. So applauds Dean for not being that disgusting. For
restraint. Yeah. So they're like, all right, we got to go visit James in bed. And so Sam and Dean go James. Visit. Chained to his bed. And Sam and Dean are going to walk on and chat. And we're just going to go talk to you. Like, and he's like, yeah, I know my community wants me burned at the stake. And Sam's like, yeah, by the way, also the police have a giant file on you, but it's all in this locked room. He's like, well, James, like, why don't you break in? They're like, oh yeah, we're breaking the police station. And I'm like, since when has that ever, like,
y'all do that all the time. Like,
you break into everything all the time. You have a plan to break into everything all the time. Don't worry.
Like,
you
literally commit that robbery. Like, you commit a felony, like, every 5 minutes.
BNEs all day. So, anyways, and he's like, oh, well, we can do it without even going there because I can do astral projection.
And Sam says, sure, we're going to take us with you on your magic mind carpet ride. And I'm going to take you on a magic mind carpet ride, Diana, as we astral project with friends. Dun, dun, dun. Diana, mm-hmm. Have you ever astral projected?
I have not. However, I will share that I kind of tried a long time ago. Because I was a massive, massive Art Bell fan for many years when I was in my teens through to early 20s. And they would talk about astral projection on his show sometimes, not just aliens. They talked about other things too. He would have people on that had done astral projection. So
what we're going to do today is I am going to give you instructions on how to astral project, and we're going to follow along and we're going to see if you can astral project yourself over here. So, cause we haven't seen each other in a while. Now, I did want to share that this is from WikiHow, cause that's, you know, how we learn how to do things. Everything. And at least I didn't ask ChatGPT. Maybe next time I will. But so I just went to WikiHow, and this article was co-authored by Tracy McKee and last fact checked March 20th, 2024. So we know this is accurate, right?
Very recent.
And I'm sharing the page with Diana so we can talk about the first step, which we generally do. We know we skip our first steps because we don't believe in following the rules here at Double Strap Podcast. So the first step is preparing, and that is to learn about astral projection. And I think she just demonstrated that she did, right? She spent all this time with Art Bell, so Diana knows about it. However, I would like for you to describe the woman who on the WikiHow page. How is she projecting? How is she preparing?
She's in bed in her nightie with one arm awkwardly behind her neck. Like, I just tried to do that and it was kind of hard. Like, one hand fully behind and one on her head and tilting back with her eyes closed.
Yeah, I think she's having a migraine, and I don't think that's how you prepare
she's
for
trying
this.
To relieve her tension headache. That's what it is. She's rubbing the back of her neck with one hand, and then she's like holding her head. She's got a tension headache. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what this has to do with that. So, so get a migraine. Put on a teddy and get in your bed. And then we're supposed to start in the morning.
Weird. I've never heard that.
So apparently, rather than practicing astral projection at night, right before you go to sleep, start in the early morning hours when you're still feeling drowsy. Some say it's easier to reach the necessary state of relaxation and heightened awareness around dawn. Yet it is possible to astral travel at any time, so there's no hard and fast rules. It is a personal preference, or simply astral traveling when we feel empowered to do it, or when it's funny. Always when it's funny. All right. So first off, we're going to create the right atmosphere. So you got to be relaxed. You should lie on your bed or your sofa. We can't do that because we're doing a podcast. So lie in your chair. And
what is this word that starts with an R and ends with an X?
I don't know. Word? I'm paying like $1,000 a week to try and figure out how to do that. So you're supposed to do something called Rylax. I don't know what that Rylax. Is. A good time to do this is when no one else is in, and you make sure no one's going to walk into the room while you're in astral flight, because we don't want that happening, because they can draw dicks on your face. So
something to your body,
right? Yeah, like you don't know what they're going to do to you while you're asleep. So they recommend that you draw the shades of curtains. So we've got curtains drawn behind you. So check. All right, check. We're good. Lie down, relax. So we're going to do this in the sitting. Lying down is the same thing. And you're going to position yourself on your back in your chosen room, not your not chosen room. It's going to be your chosen room. Clear your mind of distracting thoughts. Now, once again, Diana, stop thinking distracting thoughts. Stop it.
How does that work?
Yep. Just stop it. I know I can hear them. All right. So take a deep breath and exhale. Relax. Do it. Are you relaxed yet? Okay. Focus your mind on your breath. Don't get carried away with thoughts of outside worries, like, you know, your mortgage or your vacation or what you're going to pack. Have you filled out your Amazon card yet? Is it trash day? Don't think about those things. Like, just sink yourself into relaxation. Did you file your taxes yet? Don't think about that. Just remember, that actually happened a couple of days ago. And if you did not file your taxes, please stop listening to this podcast and go do that.
Yeah.
Actually, don't. You just fine. Then don't pay your taxes. All right. It can be helpful to use a quartz crystal to raise and speed up your vibrations as preparation. So take out your twat crystal if it's in there and just
pop it out.
Pop that out. And you're going to gently hold that crystal on your third eye, slightly above the center of your eyebrows with a closed eye, and you breathe deeply. Feel those vibrations. Feel your head clearing. Envision golden, white, purple, any color like you like. We don't care here. During this meditation and astral traveling, you can hold this crystal in your hand, or you can put it on your chest or your abdomen or back up your twat. You can put your crystal wherever you want. It will empower you. So crystal, put it somewhere.
And protect you.
I never said that. So all right, part two, moving the soul from your body. First, find out if you have a soul. I would like you to try and moonwalk. It just proves that you have a soul. All right, so we've got to get you back into a hypnotic state. All right, it's normally known as a hypnagogic state. Hypnagogic. I don't know
if I like that word.
Hypnagogic.
This beat is.
Let your mind and body.
Technotronic, hypnagogic.
The S is for it and the H is for it. All right. So being at the edge of wakefulness and sleep, a hypnotic state is necessary for astral projection to occur, maybe for some losers. So reach this state using the following method. What the fuck?
I have to take off my skull?
I think you have to remove your skull and do something with your foot and your hand.
Focus on the body part.
All right. So it says, okay, close your eyes. Let your mind wander to a part of your body, like your hand, your foot, or a single toe. Is it the one that went to market? Did it stay home? Pick that toe.
Wee, wee, wee.
Please don't pick your toes. All right, so you're going to focus on the body part until you can visualize it perfectly, even with your eyes closed. Continue focusing until all other thoughts fall away. Just wiggle that hand, wiggle it, wiggle it. Take off that skull cap and just wiggle it. Use your mind to flex your body part, but do not physically move it. Use your mind. Visualize your toes curling and uncurling, or your fingers clenching and unclenching until it seems as though they are physically moving. Broaden your focus on the rest of your body. Move your legs, your arms, and your head using only your mind. Keep your focus steady until you're able to move your whole body and your mind alone. Enter into a state of vibration. Many report feeling vibrations would come in waves at different frequencies. As the soul prepares to leave the body, don't be afraid of the vibrations, since the presence of fear might cause you to leave your meditative state. Instead, succumb to the vibrations as your soul prepares to leave your body. Then you use your mind to move your soul from your body. Imagine in your mind the room in which you are lying. Move your body and your mind to stand up. Look around yourself. Damn, that floor is dirty. Get up off the bed. Walk across the room. Turn around and look at your body on the bed. Did you put...
That sounds creepy.
That's just creepy. Like, stop Edwarding yourself. So your out-of-body experience will be successful if you feel as if you're gazing upon your body from across the room. So if you can't see yourself, you didn't do it right. Try again. Suck those vibrations in. Also, I forgot to tell you not to do this while you were driving. Yeah, I'm sorry. I hope nobody wrecked. So, all right. So you've got to go back to your body. Don't forget to do that. So that your scary. Soul will always remain connected to your body with an invisible force, sometimes referred to as a silver cord. So you're going to let that force guide your soul back to your body.
I've heard about that.
Okay. Yeah. Re-enter your body. Move your fingers and your toes physically, not just in your mind this time. And let yourself regain consciousness.
Okay. I can't say that I lost consciousness.
Okay. So I think let's try this one more time.
Okay.
All right. So,
here we go.
Yeah, I'm going to close the wiki how. So you can't cheat. You can't read the instructions. I think you have mastered this, right? Are you a master? Sure. The 75th degree of the temple of Liz. And all right, so Diana, you're gonna astral, you project yourself to right here. Like, this is literally on top of like the cat chair, so I want you to like to be like the cat, like, so like Le Chat from the episode with Philip. Okay, so close your mind, deep relaxation, purple light or some other light, vibration balls. All right, leave your body, Diana. Leave it. Leave. No.
I tried.
Okay, one more time. And then I'm just going to, like, you know, I'm just going to, this is going to be a bit, right? So just do it so that I can, like, later, like, we can put you here. Like, through the power of magic or my Adobe Premiere Pro, whatever. Sponsored by Adobe Premiere Pro. Please give us money. Okay. All right, Diana. Relax. Relax. Enter the astral plane. Go out through your third eye. Leave yourself. Come to San Antonio. It is fiesta weekend. People are puking in the streets. Come feel the Nyosa. See the flower parade. Open your mind's eye on my little cat tree. Diana, put your titties away. Go back to your body, Diana. Go back. Go back. Oh. Follow your silver cord. Wow. How was that trip on the astral plane?
That was amazing. Yeah. It was good to see you for a minute in person. Yeah. Kind of.
Did you enjoy Fiesta?
Yeah.
Duh. I mean, who doesn't enjoy Fiesta? Yeah. That is this week in San Antonio. Like, so. Which is actually means I have to figure out where I'm not going. Well, okay, so I'm glad we have all learned how to astral project. Thank you, Tracy McKee, for those great instructions.
Yeah.
I hope everybody did that safely. Remember, astral project yourself with care, and you only see, you know, what you put yourself up to. So just be careful about who you peeping on.
Yeah, there's creepy elements of astral projecting.
I don't be peeping on me in the bathroom. It's rude. So we're going to cut to what is the way that I wish astral projection went, because it's hot and like it's just like three guys on a bed and like
puts his hand on their shoulders, looks, eyes go solid white and looks up and they go.
Yep. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And they go to the police station and there is an entire murder board dedicated to James. That's not good.
Nope. We got a murder board.
They got photos of him. They got a statement from Philippe.
Le Pousset. And I like how like the whole like they're just in this police station and it's just like zoom, 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 zoom. Like this is how like they're traveling through it. I don't know. It's fun.
It is. Super fun. And they go back and James is like, well, damn it, Portia, Ed's got a case against me as a renegade cop, and he's a renegade cop, he's jealous.
Ed's a little bitch.
But he has proof from Felipe.
It's the cat. It's always a goddamn cat. And
James is, it's not good.
No, he's not a nice witch at this point. He flings the boys.
He flings them. He says it's not safe for Portia. He wants her to leave, and it's just all bad.
Yeah, it's he's not handling this well, but also
that is pretty bad. You're being like framed for murders.
You are being framed for murder by a corrupt police officer and
witches, because you know something else is going on too.
And the witches are doing things like there's a cat involved,
and you feel like you're losing your mind.
You're fucking a dog.
Cat's a dick.
Like, you know,
cat's a
like
dick. You're fucking a dog.
Did
yeah.
you give her heartworm medicine yet? Like. Does she get a tapeworm? Like, does she have to get her anal glands?
Oh, no. I didn't even say that. But that does that go back to, like, whether you go to the bathroom as a human or a dog? I don't know.
I don't know. What part of, like, does that come too much for your relationship? Honey, I'm sorry. I can't find you attractive. I just expelled your anal glands, you know?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't do that to my own dogs anyways, and my dogs are just dogs. I pay somebody to do that, but still.
Okay, moving on. Oh my god, there's just too much in this. There's too much that goes into these relationships. All right, so the Winchester's
which bar?
We go to my bar. All right, we're back in my safe place.
Back at the
my
bar.
Safe space.
And James is rolling in. He is pissed. He's going to come in, and he's going to grab Felipe and throw him on top of the bar and ask why. And he tells everybody to leave. And Philippa was like, hey, my master made me. And James like, what the fuck? Spencer was
what
my friend.
What the fuck, you pussy? And so, but this is sort of something you learn. Like, so a master gives them a direct command and they have to do it.
They have to. Which seems like a huge trust, once again, goes back to a mastery thing, which is fucking weird and makes the dynamic grosser.
You can't fuck them. You can't have sex. That's why you can't have sex with them, because the power dynamic is off. This is a very off power dynamic. Nobody likes it. We're all very uncomfortable. So.
Well, but then Felipe's neck just breaks.
Well, and then we actually figure out that Spencer says that he was spineless. So if you go and you look, it's not that his neck breaks. It's that he removed his spine. So his head flopped because he no longer had a neck bone.
That's so gross. And
that's even worse. That's so much worse.
I don't like it. And then he's like, yeah, I'd like to humbly accept the credit for making you think that you're a murderer. And James like, what the fuck? I don't understand. And then he realized this has been all about Portia. And that, and basically Spencer's like, I endured you being her master, but you broke the code and your entitlement is too much. Because basically it is kind of like,
what were his exact words? That they went Bella and Edward all over the shit. And there he couldn't handle how Bella and Edward they were. And I love that.
That's good.
It's good. But it's true, too. So, they're just like, hey, like, we can't, like, y'all, you were, like, putting your feelings all everywhere, and you were just throwing it in my face. And it's just, that's just, and it's not right.
Because he wanted Portia as his familiar. So that's the reason. It really doesn't fucking matter. I don't think Spencer would be bitchy, but he wouldn't give a shit about the other part. The part that he's upset about is that he's a jealous fuckbag.
Yeah, it's just gross. It's all gross. But then the Wiccan from Detroit shows up.
With Sam, and Spencer flings them while
they just get him. Like flung everywhere. They need to learn something to stop getting flung.
They need some anti-fling.
Anti-flung. Maybe they can find that in the bunker. Some anti-flung.
Well, and I guess Spencer's got the ability to control what people see, and so he makes both Sam and Dean see hell in their heads.
Well, he just basically finds, like, their bad memories, which is, like, super easy to do with Winchester. So it's just like, whoa, shit, no. Like, I can't believe he didn't go in there and be like, no, like, I don't want to be in here. This is too dark even for me. Like,
right. He just goes in, and he's like, oh, this looks fucked up. Here, live there for a minute, and just, like, puts him there.
Ugh. Yeah, but, and they can also, like, he can shoot electricity at Spencer, at, like, so, like, these are
James. Yeah, they're shooting stuff at each other, and Portia's attacking, but she gets thrown.
She's such a good girl, though. She, like, runs in and she's just like, run, to, like, burr. She attacks as a, and I'm like, so you chose the dog for, I guess, like, I don't know, if I was fighting, like, would I want to be a Doberman?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Diana's like, yes.
And anyway, so we get Sam and Dean are able to get the handle on the spell bottle, though, that they have, the witch killing spell bottle, and they are able to throw it, and it gets to Spencer, and he smokes a lot, and then it's a bloody explosion. I don't know. It
turns weird. Into red smoke and flight. So no, he's not there anymore.
He gone.
But Dean still has allergies.
He does. And we cut, and Sam and Dean are like, we could stay, you know, they're standing by a car with Portia and James. And they're like, look, do you want us to stay and help? And James with Portia is like, no, Ed's already built the case around me. It's going to make my life hell. The community wants me fucking gone. I mean, I might as well just go somewhere and start over. I just need to move on. And
yeah, I wouldn't want to stay there. This doesn't sound like a bunch of great people.
It does not seem like a welcoming place to be.
Oh, and, you have to leave that bar. I mean, very sad to leave that bar.
Yeah, I know. Same. But Portia tells Sam that she'll miss him, and Dean she might miss. And Dean's like, I like dogs. And she's like, no, you really don't. And she turns into a dog and they drive away.
And so, okay. So, but he's also not a cat person, right? So that's just, he doesn't like animals. I don't really like that. That's a sign of a psychopath. But so Portia flips back to being a dog so she can be in the passenger seat. Is that so she can hang her head out the window?
Ah, I hope so. That's the scene we were missing, the credit scene.
Yes, I need to see where her tongue is like hanging out. And
the little jowls, where their jowls go.
And she's just like flopping, like slobber, like hitting the window. And James is just like, oh, Portia.
So hilarious.
And then like, oh, no, never mind. Okay, so.
She's too fancy of a dog to do that. She's all prim and proper.
Sometimes you just gotta let loose.
Now, Sam and Dean are driving, and Dean's like, maybe I was wrong. And I'm not talking about Spencer. He's like, look, you know, I should have remembered when Spencer, you know, showed us that vision. What it did remind me was that the only way we've gotten through all these things was hanging together. So I trust you, Sammy.
Yeah, and so it's too, he's like, you know, this is all too important, and if you're good, I'm with you 100%. So we finally have, you know, the we should do this together. Surgery. Like, yeah, we're going to be on the same page. We're going to be in the same team. This is all good.
Be honest with each it's other and great, trust each right? other. Trust right, Sammy? Honesty.
Right, Sammy?
Sammy's who's coughing up blood.
No.
And hiding it.
No. Just when you thought it was safe.
Right.
For 1 second, you thought it was safe to watch Supernatural, that the boys would get along and do something as a team. But no! Or maybe. We don't know. We don't know why Sam is coughing. All right. So, do we have some things to talk about in the casting area?
Casting couch. It's the casting couch. Were they on that show that time with that guy?
We do. So our James Frampton was played by Christian Campbell. He was Larry in the TV movie Clarence. He's been in episodes of Degrassi High, Seventh Heaven, CSI New York and Miami, Ghost Whisperer, Law and Order SVU, Elementary, and more. He was a recurring character in 9 episodes of All My Children. He did the voice for a series called Max Steel, and he was Richard in 3 episodes of True Detective. Portia was played by Michelle, is how I believe you pronounce it. It's M-I-S-H-A-E-L. Michelle Morgan. She's been in, she had an episode of Beauty and the Beast on CW. She was the recall receptionist in the 2012 Total Recall. But most of her career has been spent doing over 800 episodes of Young and the Restless as a character primarily named Hillary, but also sometimes Amanda, because soap operas are weird. Spencer was played by Curtis Caravaggio. You may have seen him in episodes of Smallville, Stargate Atlantis, 4400, Battlestar Galactica, Fringe, Arrow. He was also one of the commanders in Aliens versus Predator Requiem, and was the rogue vampire in Twilight New Moon. Ed Stoltz was played by Serge Houd. He is a Canadian and did a lot of like Canadian shows that we would not have watched here at all. But he was in episodes of other episodes of MacGyver, Are You Afraid of the Dark, Taken, Smallville, Fringe, Arrow, Hell on Wheels, iZombie, Series of Unfortunate Events. He said some interesting film. He was Yogi Bear in the movie Stay Tuned. He was Beaufre in The Jackal. I'm probably saying it wrong. Beaufres in The Jackal, which is a film I love. He was Bishop Young in Get Shorty, Richard in 50-50, which that's the Joseph Gordon-Levitt film. And he's actually done a lot of Hallmark movies as well. So, long career.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's what we got.
Good times. So, what'd you think?
Look, the plot holes were fucking big enough to drive a semi through.
To drive an Impala through?
And a gremlin at the same time. I can't deny that it was kind of a fun episode, though. Fucking doll. Hey, there's a pupper. Mm-hmm. There's a kitty cat. There's a fun car. There's a cool ass witch bar. There's an interesting dynamic of the witch cop. Like, I don't know, like as irritated as I was about like the stuff that just like didn't fucking make sense and was dumb and gross, it was still super enjoyable. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know. It sounds terrible, but I feel like that's how I felt about it.
No, I mean, I obviously like all those things. I think, you know, I get annoyed because it's an interesting world that they poke into and yes. then they just like leave. And I would have much preferred, and this is kind of, I think we're in this point of Supernatural where they're not really, we're not running through lines of ensembles beyond, you know, right. the Winchesters, and there's a few characters, you know, we've got Charlie coming, we have a few, you know, things, but we don't have a Bobby anymore. We don't have, you know,
right.
So I still feel it would have been better if they had pulled from something in the past or continued yeah. to build on this world instead of having this be an astral projection into this kind of cool world that we just don't get to see anymore of.
I mean, they could have easily done like 3 episodes in a row where each one wrapped, but it kind of carried over with these people. You know what I mean? Or this world a little bit, I think, in my opinion. Or, but I totally agree. They kind of like just...
James could have been a cop from another episode. Like, there's so many...
Right, yeah. that. Yeah, they just skimmed kind of into this world, which just kind of forced them to not fully fledge it out, but also
kind and of entice us. And you left me wanting more. I want more.
Same. We want more. But yeah, so no, I'm that's what I got.
Yeah, and we all have the ending where it's just like you give it and then you take it away.
Give it and take it away.
Every time. All right. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Cheers, Jerk.
Cheers, Jerk.
Devil's Trap Podcast is a Don't Get It production. Meow.
Devil's Trap Podcast is part of the Ship It Studios Podcast Network. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Devil's Trap Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at Devil's Trap Podcast, Twitter at Devil's Trap Pod, or you can email us at devilstrap@devilstrappodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe, leave reviews, and share with all your friends. We're at all your favorite podcast outlets and at devilstrappodcast.com. I'm Babe. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.